Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the message today is the Gospel reading from John chapter 1. What's in a name? New parents struggle sometimes, and they debate, and they think deep thoughts, and oftentimes they don't agree on what they should name their soon-to-be-born children. You know, there are books you can buy, or actually you can go online now and look up different names. And parents, they try to do a good job. It's hard to go wrong. I have to say this, it's hard to go wrong if you've considered all the biblical names, because there are lots of them to choose from. Start, you know, right at the beginning. And there's Adam. And then there's Eve. Good names, right? Well, there's some not so good names in there too, but we go on. There's Noah. Good name. And then later on, there's Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Rachel and Leah. Good names. And there's Moses and his brother Aaron and Joshua. I particularly like the name of the only woman judge, Deborah. My wife. And there's Samuel. And so many others. And then we go into the New Testament and it starts all over again. Good names to choose from. You're picking names for your kid. It's hard to go wrong with Matthew and Mark and Luke. Luke happens to be my grandson's name. Yeah, good name. Hard to go wrong with John or Thomas, my first name and my middle name. And our sons, John and Paul. And if we had had two others, they would have been George and Ringo. I had a friend who was a Missouri Synod pastor, and he wanted a good biblical name for his first son. And he got one. He named his son Zerubbabel. Parents, please, be careful. But you know, the one thing that we know is that any name that we pick, and I love you all and all your names, we've got so many different wonderful names that we have in our children and our grandchildren. No Zerubbabels, I hope. But wonderful names, but you know what? They don't really describe us as people. They're simply a place marker. It helps to differentiate us from somebody else. But they don't give a real description of who we are as people. And yet we all share one name, every one of us, that is very descriptive. And we didn't choose it. We don't like it, but we all bear the name sinner. So no matter what your first name is, add sinner as your second name, and it's true. And that is descriptive. From our original sin, which we inherited, going all the way back to Adam and Eve, to the actual sin that each one of us does every day of our lives, we carry the name sinner, and it describes us perfectly. In our text for today, we have five names, perhaps titles if you want to think of it that way, that are all given to one person. And they all are descriptive of who he was and what he did. And so we encounter in our text for today, and St. John the Evangelist writes, and this was the Messiah. actually quoting John the Baptist. This was the Messiah, and then it is also mentioned the Christ, because you see, Messiah is the Old Testament Hebrew, and Christ, the New Testament, was written in Greek, and so Christ is the equivalent in the New Testament, but they both mean the same thing. Christ and Messiah mean the Anointed One. And in the Old Testament, if you were anointed, it showed. Because anointing, the application of oil, was not just, you know, a little dab behind the cheeks. But they poured oil, a fragrant aromatic oil, on your head that had the consistency probably of warm honey. And they poured it. And they poured it. And it ran down your face. And they poured it, and it ran down your robes and your clothing. It went all the way to the bottom hem of your garment. And so if you had been anointed, it was obvious. All people had to do was look at you. Or if they were blind, it was still obvious, because it smelled. They could tell that you had been anointed. People who were anointed in the Old Testament, and most of you know this, were anointed into three special called offices by God. The prophets, called and anointed by God to speak his message to the people of Israel. The prophets were anointed. And so it is also when John the Baptist says, "We have found the Messiah," when it's recorded for us there in the text, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ, "we have found the one who has come to speak God's word to us." And Jesus did. You know, the interesting thing about the spokesman in the Old Testament, the prophets, oftentimes they were rejected, and many times they were killed. Sounds familiar when we think about our Lord. And then in the Old Testament, there were priests. Priests were anointed. And the priestly function, by and large, in the tabernacle and later on in the temple, was to supervise the biblically, divinely appointed sacrifices. It was a bloody business. And so they supervised the sacrifice of animal after animal. They offered sacrifices for themselves and for the people. And there stands our Lord, the greatest sacrifice of all. And so Jesus was anointed as a priest. And then the third category, kings. Kings that ruled by the will of God and represented God among the nations. They were anointed. Prophets, priests, and kings. And this term, the Anointed One, is applied to Jesus. In our text, we also see Jesus being referred to as Rabbi. And it even tells us what that means. It means teacher. But it's different. It's different than teachers today. I know that every one of us, if we thought about it, in our lives, had, in our education, one probably special, maybe more than one, but at least one very special teacher. We probably, if we close our eyes, we can see them again. We remember the sound of their voice. We remember some of their lessons that they taught, and they were very special for us. But a rabbi was even more than that. It was almost like the rabbi for his disciples was the head of a family. He became like their father, their master. It was a very close and intimate relationship, more than a teacher, but to one that to whom people would turn with questions and whose lessons became not just cognitive, but they became a way of life for the disciples and the pupils. And so Jesus is referred to as Rabbi, teacher, and rightly so. "Behold the Lamb of God," John the Baptist says when he sees Jesus. That's repeated in our text. The Lamb of God, the sacrificial lamb. There is Abraham and there's Isaac, and they're walking up that hillside together. And Isaac is carrying the wood for the burnt offering, which was going to take place up on top of that mountain. And he didn't know, but Abraham knew what God had told him. And he says, on their way up, "Dad," he says, "yes." He says, I am carrying the wood, and you have the fire and the knife for the offering, but where is the lamb? And I don't think Abraham had a clue what was going to happen. And yet by faith, he said, God will provide for himself the lamb. And up on that mountain, he didn't. He provided a ram caught by his thorns in the thicket, remember? But later on, at the time of the Passover, God instructed through Moses that every family take a lamb and sacrifice it and paint the blood on the doorposts, and the angel of death would pass over. And so the lamb became the symbolic and real sacrifice that the people of Israel repeated over and over again. And here, John says, here is the Lamb of God, the Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, that perfect sacrifice. You know, it's interesting, if you look in the New Testament, that term, the Lamb, is used only here in this text and by St. John in his Revelation. It's not used anywhere else. And yet, what a wonderful revelation, for it is Jesus who offers his blood for our forgiveness once for all. Here, then, Jesus is also referred to as Son of God. You know, it's interesting. We think of Jesus being Son of God. That's very common for us, and yet it wasn't real common in the New Testament. There are many other names and titles. The Son of God wasn't used very much. As a matter of fact, if you look, you find out that oftentimes when Son of God was used as a name or a title, it was used to deride. It was used by people who doubted or hated him. Probably the very first time was in the wilderness, remember? After Jesus was baptized and he went out for 40 days and 40 nights and fasted. And it says he was hungry. And who shows up? The devil. And how does the devil address him? If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Right? And he repeats that, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. And that's often the way that it was. Remember the crowd around Jesus' cross and the thieves being crucified beside him. If you are the Son of God, save yourself and us. And the words of the centurion after Jesus had died, and he said, truly this was the Son of God. Because no other sacrifice would do. The Lamb of God, the Son of God. And then finally, the name Jesus. The revealed name, the personal name, revealed to Joseph in the dream. And the angel said to Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And to Mary, the angel Gabriel came. Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you shall give him the name Jesus. Jesus, Yeshua, which means Savior. St. Paul says it so powerfully and beautifully in his letter to the church at Philippi. He says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has exalted him and to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our Savior's names are descriptive in terms of our need and his function. Messiah, Rabbi, Lamb of God, Son of God, Jesus, all tell us something about who he was, why he came, and what he was to do. Remember the three S's: sin, salvation, Savior. Why did he come? He came because of our sinfulness. He came to work salvation for us, and he could only accomplish this by being the Savior, the Son of God. Because of the meaning and the accomplishments connected to Jesus' names, we now can take out our big eraser and erase sinner from our names and let Jesus, by his grace and his love, boldly write saint. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.